everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of Elena After Dark. Thank you so much for tuning in. This all came about because somebody asked me if I was going to be doing podcasts. You know, don't get me wrong, I like Facebook, but it's so much more personal to be able to hear someone's voice. So much is lost over the computer when you don't get to hear what someone is saying. There's no tone or inflection, and that can completely change the entire feel of a conversation. So when somebody asked me about doing podcasts, I really liked the idea. You know, I do updates on Facebook and I tweet on Twitter, but I'm hoping that by being able to hear my voice, it's going to be a really great way for all of you as my readers to stay in touch with me and kind of give you a feel for who I am and how I operate. Now, those of you who follow me on Facebook, you know I have a tendency to ramble. So you actually may be getting more than you bargained for with these podcasts. I have set up a stopwatch, so I'll know if I'm going over or not. I'll try to be doing these podcasts on a regular basis, but there may be some lag between the first couple episodes as I try to figure out some of the editing software and how to upload them to different sites. But I kind of see this as something that I'm going to look forward to doing all the time. So there may be a lot more podcasts in the future. So what to expect? What are these podcasts going to be about? And why should you listen to me ramble? First off, I'm probably going to be starting off the podcast with a little bit about me, what's going on in my personal life. A lot of times that's going to completely overlap with writing updates. What a lot of you may not know is I work full-time. I work between 50 and 60 hours with my full-time job. So when I do write, it is between the free time that I do have on the weekends and when I'm not working during the week. So I think I'm going to use these podcasts as like a mental break when I'm writing to kind of give my hands a rest and to give the brain a break. So like I said, I'm really looking forward to doing these. So at the beginning of the podcast, I'll talk about me. I will definitely be doing updates on Arcadia, and I will be giving you information on the second series that I've started. That's going to be actually published under my own publishing company that I started this year. So you'll probably be seeing a lot better editing, better book covers, and a quicker turnaround, which means a better quality book quicker for you guys, which makes me happy. So to keep these podcasts kind of informative, I've decided that I will also include a writing tip, or maybe I'll just share a best practice, and I'll also be commenting on some sort of paranormal topic. I am considered a paranormal writer, so any of these articles that I read actually help fuel my imagination. It could lead to another series, or it could lead maybe to another Hijinks of Rebecca's, and this way you'll know what I'm reading and where this stuff is coming from. So without further ado, I will launch into the Elena portion. That is so going to irk me. I mean, doesn't that sound pretentious? Talking about somebody like in the third person, like it's now time to talk about Elena. But it actually kind of accurately labels what I'm going to do. So anyway, I'm a Netflixer, meaning I sit down and I become a zombie for, you know, 2 or 3 days as I marathon through an entire series. And that's right. Series, not season. You have no idea how upset I was when I got to the end and caught up on Supernatural. Now I have to wait every week for a new episode to post, and it's driving me crazy. I can't stand waiting. I don't have cable, so all I have is Netflix, Hulu, iTunes. But so far, I don't miss TV. For the most part, I'm a huge reader anyway, so given the choice, I'll pick up a book rather than turn on the television. So for Arcadia, there is a lot going on in the mix. I know it seems like it's, you know, it's a long time between book releases, and I do apologize for that. But as you've seen on Facebook, I have posted the next 20 to 22 couple pairings. They are planned out. They're outlined. I know what's going to happen. I just actually have to sit down and write them. So book 8 will be Fated Redemption. We've got Mojo and Reese. So much is happening in this book. I wish I could go into a little bit more detail, but I don't want to give away too many spoilers. Needless to say, this is going to probably be one of the longer books that I write because we do have so much going on. It will set up everything that's going to be happening for the next 15 to 20 books. You guys know that Reese, of course, is fighting an addiction. I did have to do some research on addictions, withdrawal symptoms, living constantly with that addiction. It never goes away. So you'll see that in the book. Of course, I've just been loving writing about Mojo. He is an absolute favorite for me for Arcadia. I almost did not want to write his book. I almost wanted to keep him single through the entire series because he is just my favorite. But the way things turned out, he was perfect for Reese. You'll find out why when you get the book. The reason why that, you know, book 8 has kind of gone to the back burner is because I've been working on my other book called Winter's Chosen. It is going to be a paranormal mainstream that I will be publishing myself, and I did post a synopsis on the Street Team page. So far, I've gotten positive feedback, but those characters are screaming at me, and let me tell you, the words are flying to the page, so that one should be, fingers crossed, wrapped up and ready to go for the very first convention that I'm going to. I'm going to a convention as an author, y'all. I'm so excited. It's going to be in June. I will be at RomCom in Denver. So if anybody's going, please reach out to me. Let me know you're going to be there. I'll be there manning the tables at the workshops, the whole nine. So yeah, reach out to me. We can definitely get together for drinks or something. I'm totally down for that. With Winter's Chosen, a lot of people have asked, is it going to be like Arcadia? And the answer is no. In Arcadia, I started that series focusing on a town. That is the main character, if you will. But with Winter's Chosen, it's going to be from one woman's point of view throughout the entire series. You will be with Corey the entire time. So you're not going to be getting a lot of different couples. I hope that you will still like the characters that are introduced, but for the most part, you will stay with Corey as she grows and changes throughout the series. One of the things that I really enjoyed about starting this series is that I got to world build again. So this series is going to really pull from different aspects of the paranormal, you know, my vampires, my shifters, my witches, a whole political scheme, a whole history. That is the part about writing that I absolutely love. I love the world building. And to do that, I do have to do a lot of reading, which, you know, doesn't hurt me. But I also do a lot of research as well. So moving into the paranormal portion of the podcast, I had to share. I didn't know that Huffington Post has a paranormal section. I'm actually going to be going over an article I found. It's called America's Most Haunted Places. It was actually posted in 2013. But it's not like these places are going to become any less haunted as time goes by. The article features several locations, but the one that really caught my attention was the Eastern State Penitentiary, Philadelphia. Now, as you guys get to know me, you're going to realize that I'm a huge Ghost Hunters fan. I've been watching them for years, and they did an episode here. And I have to say that if you look at these pictures, and of course if you watch the episode, this place is like quintessential. I mean, it is the epitome of hauntedness. I mean, it looks creepy. So, I'll give you the little backstory that's written in the article. It even states, horror movies do not get more horrific than this. The prison was originally designed and meant to hold 250 people. Ended up holding over 1,700 inmates, and they were all tortured by these sadistic guards. They would soak them in cold water and then put them outside in the wintertime. They would keep them in solitary confinement for days on end. And then they would loop chains from the inmate's tongue to his wrists, which were bound behind his back. Prison was shut down in 1971. Supposedly, the ghost of those criminals took over. So what gets me about this article, and I'm sorry if it's a little bit snarky, but it says, the prison, which is a national historic landmark, does host family-friendly events. I can see it now. Come on, Johnny. Come on, Susie. We're going to go visit the prison, where not only do they have ghosts, they have ghosts of convicted felons that were tortured and are batshit crazy. Have fun, kids. No, I mean, who does this? You know, I always watch these horror movies in places like this. You know, it's been abandoned for 50 years and supposedly there's a ghost and, you know, 25 people have gone missing in this location. I'm like, burn that shit to the ground. Then you get every religion known to man to exorcise the ground. Then you still wait 100 years before you build something on it. But no, these places are still standing, case in point, and are national landmarks. So that's my little paranormal clip here. I can definitely see something like that happening in Arcadia, so keep that in mind. That really leads us into the next section of my writing tip. So my writing tip for this episode is, if you are considering becoming a writer, or you are a writer and you want to, you know, get published, then my first piece of advice is to stay organized. The first thing I did when I started writing the Arcadia series was I started a notebook. And literally everything that pertains to Arcadia is in this notebook. It's just a regular old composition notebook. But I have the names, I have the pairings, I have my mythos in there. Even on the back page, I'm like, ooh, names that I like that can be future characters. Having everything in one central location, whether it be a notebook, your iPad, a Word doc on your computer, that's going to be your go-to guide. So if you're sitting there and you're having trouble getting started or you're stuck, read over some of your material. You know, try to figure out where you are going with it. It might spark something new. So to the question and answer session, I got a couple questions from Susan. What is my writing process? Okay, so my writing process is to caffeinate as much as I humanly can and to sit at my computer. And lately, I have been using Scrivener. It's a program for writers. I like it because I can go from my PC laptop to my desktop Mac, and the program works the same. So I can literally just take one file, paste it into my thumb drive, and I have everything that I need. Scrivener has these cool little note cards in the upper right-hand corner. It has all my notes for the chapters and everything. When I get stuck, I have four extremely large dry erase boards to my right. They take up almost the whole wall. And I'll sit there and I will just start writing. I don't care if it's the person's name. I draw arrows. I draw circles around things. I highlight. I map things out. I'm very much a timeliner or like a list person. So like when I was doing Fated from Forever, it was the third book. I had chapter one in the upper left-hand corner, and the end of the book was on the bottom right-hand corner, and I filled almost every square inch of that dry erase board, because if something, you know, popped up, I wrote it in, and I literally had the entire book written out on my dry erase board. But that's pretty much it. I do an outline, a very rough outline, and I just start fleshing it out. Some of the scenes that you guys love the best have been random brain misfirings where I'm typing and I didn't even plan it. It wasn't in the outline. It wasn't on the dry erase board. I just started typing and it just started happening like almost real time. Those are the best scenes. I love when I get in the zone like that where I'm just starting to type and literally I stop typing and they start writing. They start telling me what's going on. I've also been using the sticky notes program for my computer. So I have little notes on a sticky, one dedicated to Arcadia, one is like stuff I have to get done, and one is dedicated to like Winter's Chosen. And as I think of something, I'm like, oh my God. So you guys want a teaser? Here's a teaser. The very first thing on the Arcadia sticky note is the word ambidextrous. I'm not going to tell you why that's a funny scene, but it's going to be a funny scene. But it'll have something like that. That I know that I'm going to go back to, and that's going to be something that's going to happen in the book. But yeah, basically it's just little bullet points that act as a little roadmap, and then the characters take me from point A to point B. So I don't really have any kind of set mystical writing process. That's pretty much it. From Elizabeth, what interested me in writing paranormal romance? That's all I've read. I think probably for the past 10, 15 years, ever since I picked up Christine Fahan. Now, normally I'm so type A, I have to read books in order. So I was very upset that I read Dark Gold instead of Dark Prince. So I had to go back and read the first two books to catch up and then kept going. But as soon as I started reading her, that kind of opened up my eyes to paranormal romance and the paranormal genre. And it's been like that ever since. And I think that was like 10, 15 years ago. Very rarely do I not read something like that. I don't really read anything that's not paranormal or not romance. So, I think Susan asked another question. She's like, where do the characters come from? You know, especially like Rebecca. Those, I don't know, they just they pop into my head. Rebecca evolved. At first, she was a little more cattier, but it ended up not being her. So as I started writing, her personality emerged. And of course, when you're a writer, you kind of get to play God. And so as I started writing, I realized the perfect mate for her would be somebody who is growly and grumpy and this really big, gruff guy. And then, of course, the contrast in height for them, where she's like 5'1", 5'2", and he is 6'8", but she maintains the upper hand of the relationship, and this is how. So a lot of that, these characters don't start off how I envision them. Another case in point, Cecilia was supposed to be the bad guy in book two, but I couldn't do it. Every time I thought about her, my brain went, no, she's really a sweet kid. She was supposed to be this jealous bitch who wanted to have Bran and wanted to be the alpha mate, but it just wasn't her. As I started typing, she was just this really quiet, sweet person, and I'm like, well, it's not her that's really the ambitious ones, it's the parents, and you all know how that unfolded. So it's kind of a mix where I sit down and I'm like, oh, you know what would be so cool is if this happened and this kind of person was here. But I can't, I don't know, they're in my head. I have, probably undiagnosed schizophrenia. I have all of these voices in my head all the time. And for the most part, they're just a low murmur in the background. But I made a reference to Winter's Chosen earlier. The characters right now are screaming at me. They're like, hey, we need to get this story done. I need to tell you what happens next. And they want my attention. And that's kind of how it works for me with the characters. So it's kind of the questions that I got. A lot of people, you guys love Rebecca, and I love that you love Rebecca. She will be an integral character throughout the entire series. She is just too much fun to leave alone. But that's pretty much it as far as the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I tried to keep it kind of short so you weren't tied to a device or a computer for very long. If you have any questions, or if you want a question featured on the next podcast, you can email me. My email address is Alaina Alder, AlaneaAlder, Alder, @yahoo.com. Or you can just reach out to me on Facebook, whatever. I'm very open. You guys can message me on Facebook. I don't care. For those of you who don't know, I do have a page dedicated to the Kindred of Arcadia on Facebook. So if you're interested in joining, just let me know. I'm currently in the process of trying to get everybody who is a friend on my Facebook account to like my Elena page. I will be migrating all of the book information to the Elena page. It can support more likes. A lot more people will be able to see the posts, be able to make comments. That is going to be where the teasers, the blurbs, the book covers will be posted. The Elena account is where I'm going to be posting personal information, where I'm going, what I'm doing, that sort of thing. Also, don't forget to check out the website. I maintain a blog there. Rebecca's blog is there. You'll be able to find my Arcadia inspiration board on Pinterest. It'll have all of the pictures that have inspired the characters, the places. I'll have the book covers there. I'm currently working on an Arcadian wiki, so you'll be getting a little bit more backstory with these characters. If you, for some reason, are reading and you forget who is what kind of shifter, that information is going to be there. I've also included links that'll contain all of the book blurbs, all of the book reviews. There's a link for promotions. And they've also released an app. It's available through Amazon, Google Play, and iTunes, and a lot of other miscellaneous sites, but those are the three main ones. On this app, you will have access to pretty much everything that I've just described. It'll have my Facebook feeds, it'll have my tweets, it'll have my blogs, it'll have contact information, it'll have blurbs. It'll have the app-only super secret blurb site, and that's where I'm going to be posting like deleted scenes, stuff that you're not going to find anywhere on Facebook. It's only going to be available on the app. Well, that pretty much concludes the very first episode of Greetings from the Dark Side. I want to thank you for tuning in. As always, if you keep reading, I'll keep writing.